Thanks for joining us on the NRT Now podcast, part of the largest Christian music site online, newreleasetoday.com. Sit back and relax as we chat with your favorite artists, introduce you to new artists, and more. Now here's your host, Jake.
We're here with Rebecca St. James, and Rebecca, you've been around the industry for a little while now. It's exciting to talk to you here because you're an artist that I grew up with my sisters, listening to your albums all the time.
I love it. Oh, thank you for telling me. That's awesome.
If I told my sister that I was doing this interview, she'd probably freak and probably wonder why I didn't invite her in, but
that's awesome.
Yeah, I remember, you know, growing up to the sounds of God and some of those earlier albums. And
yes,
one thing that really didn't click with me is just how young you were when you started.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Wikipedia has everybody's ages out there. So
yes. Yes. You know, oh, totally.
That's not a secret for once you get to the Wikipedia page, but you know, not being that much older than I am, it's just incredible how early you started and just the journey that you've had over the, we'll just say 15 years. We'll keep it low.
Oh, you can tell the truth. I'm all good. It's all out there.
Part of that history, we had the Jesus Music movie that just came out. I think there's a book coming out here not before long that talks about, you know, kind of that path. Can you just talk a little bit about your role in Jesus Music and, you know, just that those earlier years getting started in the Christian music industry?
Yes. Well, you know, I grew up as a Christian music kid, kind of similar to you, and like from earliest memories. Like I think I went to my first Christian show in the Sydney Opera House at 6 weeks old. So my dad was a Christian concert promoter. So even watching the Jesus Music film, which really goes from the earliest days in the late 60s, early 70s through to now, I mean, it was extremely nostalgic for me because I've seen a good amount of that. I mean, I was born in the late 70s and then remember kind of those early days of Christian music and grew up on all that. And then to have been involved personally with music from my mid-teens through to now, it's like a lot of these people that I'm watching on the movie are like friends of mine, or I grew up seeing them on stage in Australia. I mean, it's just, it was very nostalgic, but it was also high impact on the level of making me appreciate even new and fresh way just what I've been able to be involved with, you know, in a small way. I've been able to be a part of that journey and contribute, you know, my own music to it. And so the honor and the privilege of that, I just feel really thankful. But I encourage everyone to see that movie because it impacted me on the level of, you know, as a believer, like I left the film just longing for revival, longing for a similar revival to what happened in the 70s, but wanting to see it now and experiencing it now and wanting to be a part of that fresh move of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, in my music and what I'm bringing to the table now, I would love to be a part of that. Like this new wave of the Holy Spirit moving. So it was very encouraging to me and I encourage everyone to see it.
You're talking about growing up in Australia. You were mid-teens, early teens when you guys moved to Tennessee?
Yep, 14, yep.
What was that culture shift coming from the Australian music scene to Nashville where it's, you know, just music central?
Yeah, I mean, it was a cultural shift period, like a pretty big one. I mean, outside of there being kind of a language barrier, there's definitely a lot of differences. Australia's pretty kind of chill and laid back and yeah, it was just different kind of adjusting to making friends in a different country and homeschooling too, which was a shift for us and just a lot of change in a short amount of time. But then I think I went from doing a little worship album in Australia. I toured with Carmen when I was 13 down in Australia, you know, to the core of Christian music in the world is Nashville, and started singing at churches and youth groups around here. And some record company guys saw me sing at a church and signed me soon after that. So yeah, I mean, it was definitely like moments of it felt a little throw you in the deep end, like, Lord, just give me strength to do what I do and bring what I bring uniquely to the table here in front of these executives and all of that. It was pretty overwhelming, but I think that sense of inadequacy that I definitely felt helped me rely on God in prayer in a really profound way that has been a through line throughout the couple decades now that I've been involved. So I'm thankful for that foundation.
This is going to be a complete rabbit trail, but you said language barrier. I mean, so Australia, they speak English as well. I'm curious about what some of the differences in the use of English is between Australia and Tennessee. What some of the awkward different phrases are.
You really want to know that. I mean, probably one of the most awkward ones is to nurse a baby in Australia is actually just to hold the baby. Like my mom has told me a story of having Americans down there and you'd say, hey, can I nurse your baby? Then they're like, what is that? You know, I mean, they're just like shocked out of their mind because it definitely means something very different here. But in Australia, it just means, can I hold your baby? So, I mean, there's stuff like that. I mean, there's a few things probably like that, that are definitely very different, but for the most part, it's all the same. But yeah, that's kind of an awkward one. I don't know if I've ever told that one in an interview, actually. So.
Well, it's just always fascinating, just the different cultures that, you know, like I said, Australia, they speak English. UK, they speak English. But there's so many things that are just so vastly different that just doesn't even enter your mind sometimes. It's just fascinating to see the difference.
It is. Yes, it really is. Yep. I'm thankful to have experienced both cultures like that. Yeah.
Since we're rabbit trailing, we're talking about nursing a baby. Man, you have a fairly new baby. I think we were saying it was 19 months old.
He's actually 14. Yeah, 14 months. So just a little over a year. Yeah.
I just want to peel back a little bit, just since we have a young one, just how crazy has it been to raise babies in this last year and a half?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, being pregnant during the last year and a half too. I mean, yeah, at one point I was thinking, is my husband going to be allowed to even be in the room while our third child is born? Like, I was kind of staring that in the face of like, will they say no to that? Because I was hearing stories around that time, August last year, that was a possibility. So, you know, he couldn't come with me to some of the appointments and it was kind of challenging. But I was talking to somebody earlier today, I think always in life, there's something to thank God for or be appreciative of. And, you know, I think an upside of this most recent season is that it's kind of quietened life down some and slowed us down in a good way. And so I think we had more kind of family time and outside time and like chill time as a family last year that was really special and kind of made me want to recalibrate a little bit in normal life and not be rushing around so much. I'm somebody that probably can experience FOMO, you know, fear of missing out pretty easily. And when you feel like all these other homeschool moms are taking them to this, kids to this and that and doing this and, oh, maybe I'm missing out. There was nothing going on last year. You know, I was not missing out at all. And so I think it settled us down in a good way. But yeah, I mean, I think as a parent, raising children in this time is challenging too. And I think we have to go to God with our fears because I think it is a fear-inducing time, but we've got to just trust God that he's got us, he's got our families, he's got our kids, and it is a really important call to trust in a new way.
That's something that we really realized. We have a almost 2-year-old now as we're recording this, and you see just some of the weird things that have happened. Like, she grew up with masks for her first year for the most part.
Yes.
We just see a little bit of the effect of that.
And, yes.
You know, our youngest one was born just a couple of weeks after everything happened in D.C., after the elections and stuff.
Yeah.
And, man, just you're talking about that fear. It's like, what the heck are we bringing this baby into? What kind of world are we just bringing this baby into? And what's the future hold for this? And that's exactly it. You know, it's just trusting God that no matter what, I mean, he's still in control, and this world was jacked up well before all that happened.
Yes.
And it'll be jacked up after this. Yeah. You know, that's just, it's run by humans.
And we just need Jesus, you know, like individually, we all need him as the church, we need him and the world needs him. You know, I think even, you know, the music that I've been creating for a while now, you know, the last few years feels very relevant to this time, because I think in a lot of ways, like the songs I've been writing are out of this place of kind of coming out of a season of challenges and pain and seeing God do new things and a dawn happen and a sunrise happen in my life and the hope of that and the testimony of that that I have to bring. I mean, we had miscarriages in between our first daughter, our second daughter, and really hard time. And so I was writing a lot of these songs from that place of pain and kind of being in the middle of it, but the hope that Jesus brings. And so we need him, you know, we desperately need him. And so it's encouraging now to be out kind of singing these songs and on the road and seeing people connect to the lyrics, because I think that they were written for this time because people are desperate for hope and desperate for Jesus.
And our story involves miscarriages as well between our oldest and our middle two. And I mean, just so we call our daughter, our middle daughter, our miracle baby, and yes. Our youngest, the, oh, we're doing this again, I guess, baby.
Yeah. You're a rainbow baby.
But kind of, I love what you're saying, you know, with, you know, we need Jesus and all that. They're miracle babies, you know, just our lives would not be what they are without them. Just even with all the crazy stuff going on around, being present in the joy of the miracles that God has given us, you know, and just not worrying about all the junk that's happening in the world. Like, what am I bringing my kids into? But just that opportunity to love them, to introduce them to Jesus, and to just really plant that. And, you know, the thought creeps in my head is like, what can they do if I don't screw this up too badly? You know, what can they do to the world going forward? You know, it seems like it sucks right now, but what change can that make by just loving my kids, introducing them to Jesus and all that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that is really exciting to feel like, how is God going to use our kids and what is their destiny and how can we be faithful to raise them up in a way that honors Jesus and that they know their identity in him and they can confidently move into the world, whatever that looks like. And a prayer that I've been praying lately is, Lord, parent me as I parent our kids and parent my husband and I, like, show us how to wisely raise them and give us what we need for that. And so it's definitely a day by day, moment by moment dependence, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And constantly,
am I really equipped for this? Am I really ready for this?
Well, and you know, it's funny because there's the scripture that talks about he will never give us like more than we can bear. But I actually feel like sometimes we misinterpret that. Like he will never give, like, allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. Like he will always give us an escape route if we're being tempted. I think that's more what that scripture is, because I do feel like we are asked in life to handle things that are beyond what we can bear without Jesus. So with him, we can bear the things that we're called to. With him, we can have what we need and the strength that we need, but without him, we actually can't. So that's kind of what I take from that scripture, is that we're called to do hard things, but with him we can do it.
Kind of trying to get back on track a little bit. I figure we should at some point.
Yeah.
One of the things that's been cool this year, NRT has turned 20. And so we've been kind of looking back over the last couple decades of what's happened in Christian music. I'd just like to hear from you a little bit about, you know, kind of what's changed. I mean, obviously seasons have changed for you in life and all that, but, you know, just in the industry as a whole, I mean, just like little things, like the difference between wedges and in-ears, moving from like onstage wedges to in-ears and that kind of stuff. Yeah. What have you seen over the last couple decades?
Oh man, so much. Congrats on 20 years. That's huge. That's so awesome. Congrats. Thank you. So yeah, I mean, I feel like I went through the transition of, wedges, for people that don't know. Like, that was how you heard your music from the stage, is you weren't listening to the speakers in the house that the audience was hearing. You were hearing the little black boxes down the front of the stage that were giving you your music and your voice, you know, so that you can keep pitch and on time and all of that. But then it moved to in-ear monitors that are better for your ears, because you can kind of lower the volume and you're not hearing the drummer so loudly and the amps and all that on stage. But yeah, that was an adjustment for me, because I couldn't hear the crowd as well. And I felt like a bit of a disconnect initially. I often would pull, and still do, pull one ear out so I can hear the crowd better or feel like a connection with the crowd. But in that time, I also went from analog. So the old systems of recording, big old tape machines, to digital recording. So I saw that transition as well in the time that I was recording. But then I think the biggest shock to my system lately is digital releases. And I mean, I had cassettes when I was first starting out to the CDs, and to now barely anybody's buying CDs, and it's all online. So even digitally releasing songs like we're doing right now, like this week, like releasing, you know, a song, it, and it's a one song, it's a single, like, it's so wild. Like, and you can kind of push back your album very easily, and you let the audience know last minute that things are coming out. I mean, it's so foreign to not release full albums, even release EPs. Everything's changed so much. And it's even changed so much in the last 5 years, like, let alone the last 10 or 20. So massive change. And I think for me, coming back into music, because I was out of the scene for a while, just got married, was having children, kind of establishing our family life, and coming back into it, it's like, wow, it's just such a different landscape. And in some ways, there's more opportunity, I think, for Christian music than ever before, because you can get direct to the people in different ways. And it's more like God does a move in you. You write a song, you put it together, you can put it out quicker. Like, the whole process can be quicker. You know, YouTube, all those different ways of kind of getting to the people and getting ministry out there. So there's a lot of advantages to where we're at right now, but it definitely is like an education for me.
You know, just even from, you know, church worship team. And the reason why I ask, once again, kind of that curiosity is, like, when we moved as a worship team from Wedges, I mean, this was maybe 10 years ago now, but to in-ears, it's like, for me, it's partially like, do I really suck that bad? When I can all of a sudden start hearing it in my ears, that clearly is like, oof.
That's funny.
You hear so much more now. Everything's so much clearer. That has that really affected your honing your craft a little bit now that we're able to hear everything a lot clearer?
I mean, in-ears, we adjusted to that probably at least 20 years ago. So, I mean, on the road, in-ears were being introduced a lot earlier, I think, than in the church. Yeah, because I know it was really only the first few years of ministry for me that we were doing strictly Wedges. It's been a minute with that one. I'm pretty adjusted to that. But I mean, with all the other stuff, yeah, because I mean, even when we were putting out albums, it doesn't feel like that long ago, you'd have to have your release date like at least 6 months in advance so that you could let print magazines and the bookstores like know this is when it's coming out, and you've got to get the product into stores and all of that. So there was no shifting on dates. It was like deadlines were very, very strict. Whereas now you can kind of pretty easily like put back album dates, and it's much more fluid, and it's different. I mean, in some ways it's great. It's great because there's like grace for the creative process, but in some ways things can be put back so easily and shift so easily that it's also a little bit like, what, you know, where are the boundaries here? So definitely recalibration for artists like me.
I think we made it through most of the episode without talking about being big sis to the For King and Country guys.
No, I'm good with you starting with that. It's all good.
But I feel like it's relevant because you're releasing a song with Joel and Luke here.
Yeah.
As we're recording this tomorrow. Yeah. I think it's Thursday.
Yeah.
Listening to the Becoming Us series that Joel and Mariah did, which I think you had a hand in that, didn't you?
Yeah. So I had a podcast on Access More, which is K-Love's podcast platform, kind of first in the family. And then I think my mom has hers, which is really about motherhood. And then Joel and Mariah had theirs out. And so, and then we did kind of as a part of Joel and Mariah's podcast platform and mine and mom's, we all released a podcast together as like the Smallbone family. And my dad was on that one as well. So yeah, we've kind of partnered in different ways. Joel's been on my podcast. Luke has, it's definitely a family thing.
Just listening to that Becoming Us, just finally kind of realizing how kind of a tough a sled it was getting up to where For King Country is now, you know, the Grammy Award winning, Dove Award, you know, just winning every award that they get their hands on. Can you talk a little bit about just watching them grow up and then as they've been involved in your music and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, so Joel started singing background vocals for me at 12, and he's in his 30s now, kind of later 30s. So he has been, you know, singing for so long. And Luke did background vocals and kind of ran our light show for a while. And so they were just a huge part of the team. And I mean, the boys are just so crazy talented. And I think especially for Joel, all of us in the family kind of knew that we knew that he was going to do music and write and sing and perform. He's just so built for it. And Luke's always been incredibly talented too, but his personality, you know, he could just as easily have been a pastor of a church and been very happy doing that, you know? So we probably wasn't quite as a total given with Luke that he would go that route, but you know, both of them just great voices, so talented, so good at what they do. So they were working hard at the craft of writing on their own for their own stuff for a long time before they really exploded. But then when they did, it's just been up and up and up, and songs with Dolly Parton and, you know, they're everywhere, you know, and I'm super proud of them, and I'm proud of who they are and their hearts and their commitment to their wives and families and just all of it. They're just good men, and it's just really great to see good people prosper. So I'm proud of them, and I'm dear friends with both of them too. It's not just a family that see each other every now and then. We're close.
Isn't it awesome as the oldest sibling, or are you the oldest of all?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh. That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure I didn't put my foot too far in my mouth.
No, you're right.
But yeah, just, I'm an oldest sibling as well. Just watching your siblings just prosper and just do awesome stuff is just such a rewarding feeling. Just,
it is
for me. That's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
What all my siblings do.
Totally get that. Yep, definitely.
And the reason why we're on this podcast is because you guys have a single coming out. Well, by the time this comes out, it'll have already been out. Can you talk a little bit about that, the single that's coming out here?
Yeah. Well, it's really a bit of a dream come true for me to partner with the boys in this way. I mean, I've sung with them forever, and then I've guested on quite a few of their songs over the last few years, but to actually collaborate from scratch on something where we wrote the song, crafted it musically, and then have sung it together is a new thing for my project. I mean, I've written on some of their albums, but this was really, really special. So we went into the writing session just with a lot of different ideas, but the two ideas that kind of really landed that ended up shaping the songs were the Lord's Prayer and just how did God teach us how to pray? He taught us to pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and the power of that prayer. And I mean, the song has the Beatitudes in it too. It's like, blessed are the poor in spirit. So many are poor in spirit right now, like, but we need to look to Jesus. And so the song talks about who he is, but it's really a call for revival as well. It's saying, Lord, let revival come, but let it start with me. You know, as I'm worshiping you here, as I'm acknowledging who you are in my life, as I'm admitting my need for you, let revival come. So it's a worship song that we really hope the church will use, that will become kind of this anthem in worship, but then also anthem for our need for Jesus. Because I think probably a prerequisite for revival is desperation. People have to be desperate on a new level, I think, and know their need for Jesus in humility for true revival to happen. And so I am just sensing that it is happening right now, and just in talking to a lot of different people, that a move of the Spirit is about to take place. But I just pray that this song can also be a part of it.
Well, we're excited for this single to release, and Rebecca, we just appreciate you just spending the time with us here.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for hanging out with us for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Neon Feather for providing our theme music. Make sure to check out newreleasetoday.com and our socials for more great content. See you next episode. Thank you.